Hello everyone and welcome to the Stage of Place podcast with me, Elliot, where today we'll be chatting with G. Victoria Campbell, who is the writer and lends her voice to Treason the Musical, which you can listen to some of the tracks embedded within this episode itself, as you'll hear sneak peeks from Victoria's work. Before we begin with today's episode though, I'd just like to announce that this will actually be my penultimate hosting gig here on the Stage of Place. Like all things in life, some things must come to an end, and for me, hosting this gig on the Stage of Place podcast has been amazing, and I've really enjoyed meeting brand new people as well as interviewing some of my old and closest friends who have come into this industry and I've known and have been a big part of my life. But do not worry, as next year you will be having a brand new host or a multitude of hosts over the next couple of series, and I'll still be involved with the Stage of Place podcast doing all the social media and the producing side of it. Today is the penultimate episode and we will have a Christmas special next month, which is really exciting, and we've been working very hard to get all the content ready for that episode, so there's still a lot more to come here on the Stage of Place in 2020, both on the podcast and on social media. But for now, let's listen to today's episode with G. Victoria Campbell as she talks about Treason the Musical. Hello, Victoria. Welcome to the Stage Place.
Thank you so much for having me, Elliot.
Thank you so much for coming on. For listeners out there who may not be aware, we're recording this just a couple of days after the Emerging Writers Concert, which Red Piano Productions presented, and which Dominic Gray hosted, who listeners may know from being in the previous Stage of Place episode. Victoria, you hosted two of the songs from your musical Treason. Tell us a little bit about the experience of watching the concert from home.
Yeah, so home for me is beautiful Switzerland, right now anyway. You know, it was sad at first that I couldn't be there in person. I really wanted to be there and support the cast and the performers and meet the other writers. But it was also just kind of cool being comfortable in the coziness of my living room on my couch and experiencing the concert via the same method that my friends and family were experiencing the concert through their eyes, probably the average viewer. It was just really amazing to see all of Dom's and Red Piano Productions' efforts come to fruition. It was a really well done concert.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. I watched the on-demand service on Monday as I wasn't available to watch live on Sunday. And I was just saying, and if Dom's listening to this episode, how well it was executed. You just saw so much passion from all of these creatives and all of the performers. It was so well put together.
I completely agree. I mean, half the time I couldn't even tell who was a West End performer and who was an emerging young artist. I mean, the caliber of the talent was just so up there.
Amazing. Yeah, exactly. It was genuinely phenomenal. And obviously, we'll talk about Treason later on in the episode itself. But Victoria, what I want to do first is I want to take you all the way back to where you first began. And I would like to know the moment that you first started your journey with theatre and what inspired you to write a musical.
Yeah, good question. So full disclosure, I don't actually have formal training or experience in the theater, but I do have a background in music and I'm a huge consumer and appreciator of theater as an art form. I minored in music in college. I've been involved in music from a performance perspective on and off throughout my whole life, just having sung in choirs and bands and, you know, the occasional karaoke bar. And I go to shows as often as I can, whether it's Seattle, New York, or London, at least pre-pandemic. So I'd always intended to be part of the theater world somehow. I just wasn't sure how. By trade, I'm actually an industrial organizational psychologist. And I say that slowly because it is a mouthful to say, but it basically means that I help make businesses run better by focusing on the people element, on the employees. So I spent the last 15 years working in corporate America, focused on helping workers be more happy in their jobs and more successful in their jobs. But in the back of my mind, I was not 100% happy in my own job. I mean, I loved it. It was fulfilling. I was helping people, but I knew I was missing music. And so last year, I took a plunge, not a musical theater plunge, but I moved to Europe from Seattle, intending to find a job after traveling and settling in. And then, of course, the pandemic hit and my life took a turn. Everybody's lives took a turn. And the musical Treason was ultimately this happy accident. I call it a happy accident. It was the perfect storm of not having found a corporate job to keep me busy, not being distracted with friends or travel or just other life things that until now had always gotten in the way of my exploring theater as a profession, and me missing home where the musical is set. It wasn't even me trying to practice what I preach as a psychologist and seeking my own happiness at work. It was like I was literally hit with the idea after the culmination of these events, and then the words and the music just started flowing.
And let's talk about Treason then as a premise. So Can you tell me, obviously, with not having much of a musical theatre background with your degrees and all that, what kind of research and inspirations did you help take on to inspire the production?
Yeah, so in the earlier days of the pandemic, I was reading a lot of just really negative, really depressing news and letting myself kind of just get down in the dumps. But I started to come across positive news, silver linings about the pandemic, you know, reading news that, yeah, the pandemic really sucks, but guess what? Because of the pandemic and reduction in travel and reduction of human impact, pollution is declining and wildlife is reclaiming their territories and people are spending more time in nature. And so the idea just kind of clicked for me. I started to journal. I started to write poetry about nature, about Seattle, about Earth's demise, about how we interact with the planet. And really, it was just channeling my nostalgia for home, writing these poems that eventually turned into lyrics and they turned into songs. And I noticed, you know, there was something here. There was a story to be told via musical theater. So as far as research or broad inspiration that helped shape Treason, I mentioned in my, you know, that in my prior life, I worked as a psychologist with a passion for helping people find happiness at work. And so this theme is really present in Ash. Ash is the male lead, the main character of Treason, and he's kind of the every millennial, if you will. And so I realized that more and more with my experience and just chatting with my friends, people my age, they aren't as motivated by traditional values of success. They aren't as motivated by money or wealth. And to be happy at work, they really just want to work for companies whose values align with theirs and who give back to their communities. And so that was a huge inspiration for Treason, is channeling my sentiments as kind of an unhappy employee and building that character in Ash, and I think that many people can relate to. Lastly, I couldn't really talk about the inspiration of Treason without mentioning one of my dearest friends back home. We met in college, and she was really the first environmental activist I'd ever met. I mean, this girl told me about recycling gum wrappers, and she was president of Earth Club, and she studied environmental science, and now she works for the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, which is an arm of the US government. And so, you know, I really have to acknowledge and just mention that there's a lot of my friends in the character of Tara as the female lead.
So Victoria, I think it's time now that we preview one of the tracks from Treason. So can you tell me a little bit about this first clip and what we're going to hear?
This first clip is from The State of Things, performed by the elements of water, wind, and fire, and they are summarizing the plight of the environment. We have the talented Augusta Jankowskaite, Sarcy Grace, and Sinead Davies on this one.
What do we do? The state of things is looking real bad, and Earth is looking sad. She's got a lot on her mind, but not enough time to make things right for man.
So it's up to you what you gonna do. You're gonna turn things right around.
Time's a waste, and it's time for hasting.
Or you'll be lost, not found.
So Victoria, before we start talking about the creative team behind the project, what I really want to know is why you decided to call the musical Treason. Because we should say that this is spelled a little bit differently to how some people might spell Treason at home. Your version is T-R-E-E-S-O-N. So can you tell me a little bit behind the meaning of this?
So my treason is spelled differently than the normal spelling of treason. It has the word trees in it because treason is about trees. So it's kind of a play on words. I was trying to think of a name that was memorable and reflected the sentiment of the show, which was humanity's carelessness and disloyalty and ultimately betrayal of the environment. So treason is about betraying the trees, hence treason.
And so with Treason obviously being your first musical and almost the introduction into the musical theatre world as a creative, where did you start when it came to gathering a team to produce the musical itself from the cast and creators alike?
Right off the bat, I knew that, you know, I really had a lot to learn and I needed to meet people who knew more than me, who I could depend on, who I could brainstorm with. Writing a musical is a really huge endeavor. So I got about as far as I could on my own, writing the draft script, the lyrics and the melodies. But I knew I needed to find help. And so the first thing I did was I actually signed up for a theater production course, Ken Davenport's Theater Makers Studio Program. This course was great and it offered a bunch of resources and templates and guidance on how do you even write a show. But to me, the most valuable asset of the program is that I just met a bunch of people via this program. You know, I came across a community of other theater makers and other creatives who introduced me to other resources and other creatives. And it was kind of this domino effect. So one of the women in the group, for example, mentioned a very specific Facebook group, musical theater composer and lyricist group. And when I got to the point of having completed my melodies and my lyrics, I knew I needed to find somebody who could help with the instrumentation of the demo album. And so I put an ad up and got a lot of interest from various composers and arrangers. And the one that I ultimately landed on was Joseph Perdue, who's super brilliant. He's done work in London. He's done, you know, work on West End with Unfolding Tale, Catfish, Legends of Arima. And so it's been a lot of me just emailing him random questions, wanting to bounce ideas off of him. He's always such a valuable resource and very happy he puts up with a lot from me. So that's how I found my arranger, was really just putting up ads on various websites. I found my cast, my singers, via a variety of sources. Again, Facebook, Meetup, just meeting people in person, YouTube. My male lead, who plays the character of Ash, he's brilliant. He's an Italian who spent time in London. He's back in Italy now, but his name is Daniele Allen Carter. I literally found him by spending several hours on YouTube. I typed in a search, Josh Groban covers, and I made sure that there were people who posted videos in like the last 4 weeks. So yeah. I knew that they were active recently and they had an online presence. And he did an amazing cover of a Josh Groban song. And then I found his Instagram and I stopped him. And I just like, it's just a lot of messaging people and cold calling and putting yourself out there to allow yourself to be vulnerable and just networking. It's a lot of networking.
Yeah. And what we were saying a minute ago and what you touched upon were the benefits that the Earth has actually had from the pandemic. One of them being less air travel, for example, which has been a huge benefit for the whole world. I know also for you, you haven't been able to travel back home to see your family in Seattle, for instance. So how has writing Treason for you helped and grown with the situation?
I mean, at first I was really sad that I couldn't go home and I couldn't travel. I mean, I could, but me personally, I didn't want to put myself at risk. And so I just chose not to. So it was really just a cathartic, like very healing process. And ultimately, I'm grateful that I went through it, because if I didn't go through it, Treason would not have emerged as a musical. It really just allowed me the opportunity to channel my memories and to create the narrative of Ash and Tara and the elements and the earth. I mean, ultimately, the experience of writing the musical via this pandemic, it's been unpredicted and very, very eye-opening, to be completely honest. I didn't know that I was capable of writing a musical until it happened. I thought I would be lucky to write maybe one song in my entire life, but never in a million years did I think I would write a whole script, 20 songs, and be almost done with a demo in 6 months' time. And so to me, it's been, the word is eye-opening, in that as humans, give ourselves time and space to just listen, to reflect and to contemplate and remove the distractions and the noise of typical society that we often were overwhelmed with pre-pandemic, there would be a lot more creativity and invention and innovation in the world. That's ultimately how I feel about it.
Yeah. And in the future, when you're looking at staging the idea of this musical itself, how conscious will you be to developing the eco-friendly ways to bring the piece together for a live audience?
Yeah, great question. I don't think I touched on it earlier, but just for you listeners out there, so Treason is an eco-musical. It's about a man named Ash who's trying to reconcile the tension that he has to the loyalty of his father's unethical logging company with his loyalty and his newfound appreciation for nature. And so it's really just about one man's journey being kinder to the planet and who he meets along the way. And so obviously, you know, I would be very conscientious of leveraging eco-friendly ways to bring this to the audience. I think it's important that the musical live out the values and the message that we're asking of the audience. And so I haven't thought that far ahead yet as far as how I would execute, but I do know that it would start at the top. So I would, for example, want to make sure that I partnered with other creatives, whether it's producers or directors or costume designers, just making sure that we're all on board with a sustainable production policy. I would want to make sure that we are all on the same page with being green. And so it might look like maybe foregoing paper programs or tickets, for example, and doing everything digitally. Or maybe it's finding out ways to source ethically sourced organic material and fabric for the costumes. Or, you know, maybe it's using energy efficient lighting. Or I think it'd be, I saw that Joseph was doing this with Catfish. You know, maybe it's partnering with an activist organization and donating proceeds of sales to an environmentally conscious organization. So there's just a whole bunch of things that we could do. I mean, not just Treason, but any theater or production company or show could do. There's just no excuse for not exploring green options that are more sustainable and eco-friendly.
So Victoria, I think it's time now that we preview the second track that you've got lined up for us today in this episode. So can you tell us a little bit about this track from Treason?
This next clip is from a song called More, and it's performed by Ash, the main character, who is dreading going into work, and he's lying in bed, searching for something, but doesn't yet know what. We have the amazing Danielle Allen Carter singing this tune.
But you've got to keep on keeping on, hold fast, you are strong. There are still time left to right things wrong, your song's not done. Turn that dread into dreams. Think of what could be. Get out of bed and you will see. There's more to life than this.
I also agree what you were just saying there about like paperless tickets and paperless programs, because especially here in the UK, since the pandemic slowly lifted with the restrictions and audience members are able to go back to the theatre, I've been to quite a lot over the last couple of weeks that have done like the QR codes to like scan and get the programmes. And actually, it's so much better than having to go to a theatre and fork out on top of your ticket price to then buy a physical programme. And with these online programs, not everybody obviously wants to buy a program when they go to a theater because they may be strapped for cash and may not have the budget to buy a program on top of ticket sales, maybe a glass of wine or a non-alcoholic drink, and then, you know, like a meal beforehand. To have online brochures, let everybody, if they want to, look at the creatives and look at the cast, whereas some theaters, you may see audience members sitting without a programme who may not actually know who's on stage and who wrote the play and who, you know, directed the play and their credits with their bios. It's so nice to have now a world where we can scan online tickets, online brochures, and actually everybody who are in that audience can see who's done that production. I think it's amazing.
I absolutely agree with you. I think it's really interesting. I think I'm guessing that, you know, at the show on Sunday, they did that for a COVID kind of health perspective to minimize contact, you know, but I think that a lot of organizations, I mean, theater or not, they're realizing that they're doing things to be more health conscious and avoid the risk of COVID, but ultimately they're also just green in practice, you know, and I think that there are probably going to be some continuation of these efforts even after the pandemic goes away, which is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like you've just said there as well, Red Piano Productions concert, which you were in, had the online brochure. And Dom honestly said that on stage. He was like, yeah, go over to rebcannonproductions.co.uk and download the online brochure. And I did, as soon as he told me on the on the on-demand service, or told the audience. I was there on my phone onto Red Piano Productions, looking at the brochure and, you know, following along with what was going on and all the bios, you know, when everybody was singing. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. So moving ahead then, tell me a little bit about what theatre is like currently in Switzerland, because obviously, you know, I know a lot about the UK here, and obviously some theatres are starting to reopen with the guidance and everything. What's going on in Switzerland at the moment?
So Switzerland at the moment, because of COVID, they have kind of a fine balance of COVID recommendations, not mandates, and also giving the community kind of the liberty and the freedom to live their lives freely. And so I actually went to a movie probably 6 weeks ago now at the Zurich Film Festival, and I was really nervous. It was my first show that I've seen in a theater since February, but it was done very safely, very practically. Everybody wore masks. Everybody signed this kind of tracker form on their phone. And I saw a documentary about the illegal logging industry. So very much related to treason. But I think from a COVID perspective, they're just being very, very thoughtful and very careful. Non-COVID perspective, I'd say there's a huge appreciation for the arts and for the theater in Zurich. But I mean, to be frank, I mean, nowhere near the same level of caliber as in London or New York.
Right, Victoria, I think we've got time for one last track preview of Treason the Musical. So Kian, let us know about this final track that you've got in store for us today.
This last clip is from a song called Birth to Earth, which is about regrowth, hope, and inspiration. It's performed by a group of activists, and it's the final call to action to the audience. We have a global ensemble from all over the world on this number.
What advice would you have for creators out there who may be listening to the podcast, starting up their career, and they also really want to produce a musical or write a score and make demo tracks? What simple steps would you give them to start writing their own musical?
It's a really good question. And I think it probably ties back to an earlier answer that I shared, is that for me personally, inspiration did not hit until I gave myself time and an empty space to think and to ponder my thoughts, because I was so distracted with travel, with eating out, with going to museums, with seeing my friends, with working, with watching TV, with everything. I never put down my devices. And so I had to literally unplug my laptop and bring old school, like a journal with paper and a pen, and park myself out on my balcony or on my couch and just force myself just to sit there and maybe write down a word in 5 minutes, or maybe write down a sentence in an hour. But eventually you have things to say. Eventually you have a story that you want to tell. It's just so buried in your brain and covered up with distractions. So I would say, again, to reiterate, for anybody who wants to produce art, whether it's a song or a musical or a play or write a book, you have to give yourself empty time and empty space, free of distraction, to just ponder and let the words come out.
It's absolutely perfect that you've got a musical which is just so integral to the world right now because of everything that's happened over the past 6 months. And obviously we've got like David Attenborough here in the UK, who's doing some incredible narration surrounding the planet Earth. And I know that we spoke on our pre-interview a couple of days ago about Gaia, which was done by Luke Jerram. And it was this massive, amazing Earth installation, which is happening all over the world. To have David Attenborough, going back to him, do this narration about the planet Earth and about our world and how it's, you know, slowly decaying, but it's been allowed to breathe. And I know that we mentioned this earlier on, allowed to breathe over the past 6 months. It's really, I think, opened up our eyes to what we can do after this pandemic. And, you know, like we said, with all the eco-friendly ways that we can potentially produce musicals and plays in the future. Looking back 6-7 months ago, we never thought that we would be here, right? Even a year ago, like, you know, if we would say that, you know, there would be no traffic in the sky, no air traffic, everybody mm-hmm. would be indoors. You're only going out once a day, especially in the UK, it was like once a day for the first month, 1 hour mm-hmm. a day for your exercise. For you, you never thought that you were going to produce a 20 song, you know, cycle demo tracks. And obviously yeah. this month in November, you're looking at producing the whole demo album for the musical. It must be absolutely mad for you, thinking from the start of the year to where you are now, just how much you've produced and how much you've conquered stepping into the musical theatre industry. I think it's amazing.
Thank you.
And also, like, that's also why I love getting people like you onto the podcast, because it's people who are just freshly grown and who have really risen from this pandemic and has produced some fantastic songs which we'll listen to on YouTube, for example, and, you know, listening to on the concert the other day. It's just so wonderful that so much creativity has come out of this pandemic for someone like you who may not even have had a musical theatre background. It's wonderful. So, Victoria, my final question for you today is, where is your staging place? Your staging place may be somewhere that you first saw your favourite musical, or simply a place that springs to mind when you hear the word theatre. So, Victoria, where is your staging place?
You know, I don't think it's a physical, tangible location. My staging place really is all about the experience as an audience member, that intangible experience. It's, you know, it's not backstage creating or singing or acting. It's, for me, it's sitting in a packed theatre, any packed theatre, and feeling the energy and the buzz and the chatter around me, and anxiously awaiting the curtain to rise and the music to start. And, you know, it's this happy feeling of knowing that I'm in for a treat and waiting to be immersed in another place, another time, to see and hear a beautiful story to be told. I mean, I've been to shows all over the world, you know, in Seattle, New York, London, it doesn't matter where. For me, it's the feeling that I get when I'm sitting in a theater.
Amazing. I'd just like to say thank you so much for coming on to the Stagey Place. Like I say, it's been absolutely wonderful having you on. Thank you so much for getting in contact. And for listeners out there who may want to get in touch with you or the musical itself, can you tell us a little bit about the social medias and where we can find you?
Yeah, so similar to the musical, I'm kind of figuring things out as I go, and I'm figuring out my brand and my polish. But I will say I do have somewhat of a social media presence, and they can go to treasonmusical.com. That's treasonmusical.com. They can go to my Instagram at treasonmusical. Facebook, I have a Treason Musical webpage as well, and then YouTube. But yeah, they want to hear the music, they want to read more about Treason Musical, you can check it out on the website.
Amazing. Victoria, once again, thank you so much for joining me on the Stagey Place.
Thank you so much, Elliot.
And there we go. That was today's episode of the Stagey Place podcast with my guest, G. Victoria Campbell, who is the writer and lends her voice to Treason the Musical. If you've enjoyed today's episode, tell your friends about it. We'd love to have some more followers on our social medias. We are at The Stagey Place on Instagram and Twitter. And whilst you're listening to the episode, why not leave us a review or comment on your preferred social media platform? Until next time, with our Christmas special and my final hosting gig here on The Stagey Place, I hope you're keeping safe and I look forward to hearing from you soon.